We are here in the Tome Devaira, which is Perik Beis, Daf Lamed Beis, or page 32 in the regular Tome Devaira that we use, and we're up to Hashnia, the paragraph Hashnia. Perik Beis again is already when we have concluded. We have concluded Perik Aleph, which dealt with the Yud Gimel Midos, and now we are continuing further in Perik Beis. The direction of the Talmud Devarim regarding further aspects of a halachta b'drachos. There are so many midos which encompasses a yid that there is, when we finish Yud Gimel Midos, and we thought we had sort of mastered all of the midos toivis in order to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we find out that there are quite a number of additional midos. And in Perik Beis he elaborates on those, and he started last week we had, which was the Rishonim, which was the Midah of Anova. And as the Talmud Devarim described it, that the Midah of Anova is the all-encompassing Midah. Just could I to mention, which we didn't have the opportunity last week to conclude, just the Mile of Anova that the Talmud Devarim is talking about. It's fascinating that the Chidah, of course the famous Chidah, in his Sefer Shem HaGdolim, let's be reminded that the Chidah basically lived over 200 years ago. And the Chidah writes a fascinating thing, that we all know that the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch was the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, is the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch, that which has been accepted in Klal Yisrael Ad HaYom HaZeh as being the direction, the greatest authoritative source in how a Yid conducts his life on a daily basis. Shulchan Aruch, which is a combination, of course, then came the Ramah, and together, this is what we call Shulchan Aruch. So the Chidah tells us something fascinating behind the scenes. And the Chidah writes it, and he says, Da, I want you to know, Shekibalti me'odom godol b'chochma. He says, I have a Kabbalah. I have information that I heard from a great person, Godel b'chochma b'yira, and that person, Shekibel, he was mekabelit, me'rav Godel, Shekibel mezakeinim. So this goes back, ikabola mipi'ish, mipi'ish, ki b'doyre she Rabbi Yosef Karo, that in the generation of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo, hoyu chayim shloisha rabbonim shohoyu re'uyim lechaber sefer kein Beis Yosef. In the generation of the Beis Yosef, actually he was not the only one who had the capability of writing the Shulchan Aruch. There were three other Gedoyla Hador, there were three Gedoyla Hador that also had the similar ability to write the Shulchan Aruch, and they could have written it. Chiyakabes letoichoi, to write a sefer, to collect in it kol adinim, lasuke shumatis alibet hilchaset, and to bring down the halachas according to halachas. Who do you think they are? Some not everybody may have heard of, but they are very well known. Ve'elohim. One is the great Mekubal Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak. Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak, that's a parasha b'fnei atzmo, k'day to talk about him as well, but Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak was also a great individual who even had his own mahalach in certain shittas in Kabbalah. He reigned as one of the great Balaam Mekubalim, Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak. The other one was the Mahari Bar Lev. To give you an idea, the Mahari Bar Lev, the Marsha, in many places in Shas, comes to mind as in Masechtas Kedushin, Perik Aleph, quite a number of places. Hiksho Mahari Bar Lev. The Marsha refers to the Mahari Bar Lev. Marsha offers Terutzim. But Rabbi Yosef Bar Lev, one of the Gedoy Lahador, and he says, Rabbi Yosef Karo. No, so here you had, if you will, three great people who vied for the position or for the glory, for the privilege, to write the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Chidah, V'hiskimu min ha-shamayim, she'tenosein das, you should give it, he says, L'moron Rabbi Yosef Karo. In the Shemayim they were maskim, although there are quite a number of others who had the ability to write the Shulchan Aruch, writes the Chidah, but min ha-shamayim they were maskim, they say, you know who we're giving it? We're giving it the mantle. We're giving this mantle of authority to be mechaber the Shulchan Aruch to Rabbi Yosef Karo. Yechabreu. Why? Why? They were all great. It's not that he was greater. But the answer is Hayos, because Vehu Hitztayin in Visonusoi Hayesera Yosef Mahashar. Hatul Vafela. Because in the middle of Anova, he shone out. He stood out. He was Mitztayin in Anova, in the middle of Anova, more than the others. And the Chiddush says, Kashinira Misvarav Hakdoshim. You can see by the type of Lashon is the way an author writes. And you see the attitude that he has towards other poskim. You see the way he reacts to other poskim, even if he disagrees with them. You can see the type of respect when someone writes to others. And you see that it's not just his opinion, but also the other opinion as well. And one follows in the writings of the Beis Yosef, what comes through, what shines through, is the great anivus of the Beis Yosef. She'ein darkoi lesaper mishepoisek begnus mishepoisek loikemoisek. The Beis Yosef will not embarrass or shame or write anything derogatory for anyone who paskins not like him. And therefore, the teaching of the Beis Yosef is called Mishnas Chasidim. That's Mishnah Chasidim of a true Chosid. So you see, Halacha Rabbi Yisai is something that you need Siyata Dishmaya. Halacha is not totally just in Chochmas Adam being a great genius or being a great intellectual. Of course, all have to be Gedolei Torah. There's no question about it. But just because one is a great Baal Kishrin, or just because one is a Gadol B'Torah, does not mean that he'll have the Siyata Dishmaya to be Mechavim L'Halacha. What's the Raya? You have 10 Gedolei Torah, and they each have a different psak. Why? Is it because this one is a greater goal? No. The answer is because, in terms of being Mechavim L'Halacha, at least what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this Manenu, at least this should be the Halacha, you have to have a particular Siyata Dishmaya. And therefore, it's not always black and white, because many people have a certain poiskim and others. And then there are general poiskim that stand out shoulders and above, which Klal Yisrael has accepted as being the reigning supreme authority. You have that also. And even then, there are opposition. Your gadol is not my gadol, and so on and so forth. But this was the idea that Minashemayim, they granted that chus to be mechaber the Shulchan Aruch, was the Yosef Karo, Sosa the Chidor, because of his anivus. Give us again a picture. A little bit of what the Torah Dvorah spoke about last week, that we talked about, was the all-encompassing midah. The first one that he said is the midah of Anova, to emulate Hashem in that area. What's also fascinating, that the Chiddush also writes, Shomati Rav Zokin. He says, I heard from a Rav Zokin, Ki mikubel biyodoi, that it's a mikubel shebimei Rav Shlomo Luria. Who is Rav Shlomo Luria? That's the Marshal. He says that there is a Kabbalah that in the time of the Marshal, the Marshal was a god lador in his own right, he says, Hoyetachas beis medroshoi chanus yirokis. Underneath the beis medrash, in other words, beis medrash must have been elevated, and there was a store selling yirokis, vegetables. So there was a vegetable store underneath the beis medrash of the Marshal. The Chiddush writes this. And he said, the Baal HaChanus and the owner of the store, his name was Reb Avrom. This Reb Avrom, if you looked at him, you thought all he knows what to do is to sell apples and oranges and yirokis and vegetables. That's all he is. He was a hidden gadol. No one knew about it. Hoye ish tsenua, v'shoket, calm, quiet, reserved. V'dovar ein lo yim shumodom. He doesn't have any masa matan with anybody. He goes about his business. That's all he does. Keeps to himself. Chanus zu shimshaloi gam ledire bochai. This is also where he lived. It's not like people tell you they live in one place, you know, then they rent out a store someplace else. That was his house, that was his dira, that was his chanut, that was his store, everything. So the Chiddush says something incredible. He says, one night he says, the Marshal gets up earlier than usual, sort of like in the middle of the night. Vishoma, and he hears a voice. What kind of a voice does he hear? He hears a voice, none other than the vegetables merchant, the vegetable soicher. He hears a voice, and what is he doing? He's learning a sugya amuka, something which the Marshal could not fathom, that this person has a shaykhis bechlal to this type of a sugya, to any kind of learning, for that matter. And here the Marshal, this person did it quite early. Marshal got up earlier than usual, and he happens to hear. And he hears the voice of this Reb Avrom, that he's learning a sugya amuka, and he's explaining it, he says, with amkus, and with a bright kite, with tremendous insight. And the Marshal, he couldn't believe it. The Marshal, who hirgish me'ato, on the mashal now realized, ki Rabbi Avrom hatznua, that this Avrom, this hidden Rabbi Avrom, is a gavra rabbi. He is a great man. What the mashal do? The mashal sends a shliach. The mashal sends a shliach to ask Rabbi Avrom she'elo amuke b'shas. To ask him, see what he has to say about a very difficult child in shas. And the shliach comes to Rabbi Avrom and says, the mashal sent me to ask you this and this, a very difficult child. Hey, shivloi Rabbi Avrom. So Rabbi Avrom answers, he's asking me. He answers, ki hu amoritz v'lo yoda ma'kom rabban. He says, I'm an amoritz. He says, asking me. What do I know? I don't know anything. He was still playing the role of an amoritz. Hamashal lo shoket. The mashal didn't keep quiet. And he sends the shliach again. V'ochein la'achar haftzorois. After many, many insistence. And the gzera of the morad asra. The mashal was the morad asra. So now he couldn't hide anymore, as much as he tried to bavron. Posach Avron Piv, he opens his mouth and out comes a beautiful pshat. A beautiful pshat to the shaila that the mashal asked. Bechokhmo ubikiyas hafle vefela. However, he made one tanai with the mashal. Avron, let's remember again, the vegetable seicher, makes one tanai with the mashal, that the mashal has to keep it beside. Not to reveal the secret that this Rav Avron is anything more than selling vegetables. Never. Never to release this information or to reveal to anyone that this Rabbi Avrom is much, much more. He's a Gavra Rabbi. And the Mashal, he kept his word and calls the man that they were together, the Mashal, very often. They would talk in learning. It would be Mefalpel learning. Mashal found a appropriate, if you will, Chavar or a Chavruse to talk in learning with now. And Odom Godel Miyoit. No one knew about this. No one knew. It was in the year 1573. In the year 1573, it was just about the time that the Mashal was about to leave this world. And the Mashal, he writes it tzavo, or orally, he gave over it tzavo. And the Mashal gives over it tzavo that when his time comes and he passes on, that they appoint a successor as Rav in Lublin, Rav Avrom Moicher Yerokis. Rav Avrom Moicher Yerokis, he becomes the next Rav in Lublin. Lublin was one of the most prestigious and distinguished Jewish communities of Torah, Talmid Chachomim. Mashal writes, who's going to succeed me? Rav Avrom Moicher Yerokis. Why? Ki ein godel kamoyu. Says, there's no one. There's no one like him. The Tzor, the Mashal, you can realize, the people just couldn't get used to this idea. Rav Avrom Moicher Yerokis, the one we used to buy our vegetables, he's now going to become our Morad Asra, he's going to become our Rav. We're going to be able to be Mekabel Moris, be Mekabel the authority. Rav Avrom Moicher Yerokis, it took a lot of coaxing and a lot of dwelling and a lot of Haftzoris. Ultimately, finally, they accepted him, this Rav Avrom. And the Chidor writes, Umi sheyesh lelev is mesayim nechido. Whoever has a little bit of lev, yikach musar haskel, should learn from here. Ad kamo hatznius v'ha'anova, that the more tznius the person is, the more modest he is. I'm not talking now in clothing. We're talking modest in his behavior. The more modest the person is, the more anivus dike is. This is an emtzoy lahagia letoyl shmol chokma. This is a springboard to be able to rise to great heights in chokma. And in Torah, because ultimately his Torah, there's only going to be a certain amount of time that he'll be able to hide that Torah. The Rabbi Shlom HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that his Torah, as much as he tries, that the world will recognize and give covet to that Torah. Ki Torosoi Machrezes Olov Ki Hurom V'Niso Hashem Lo Yimna Toiv LaHoilchem B'Tomnam. Because Baruch Hu will not hold back Toiv to those who deserve it, just because they try to hide it. Because Baruch Hu will bring out Takedar Godless, and they'll take you get that which is really coming to them, that which they deserve. So this is very fascinating again. It's not written by the Chidor. It seems like more like a legend. But here the Chidor writes this himself to see again the Koyach of Anivis, both in the area of Rabbi Yosef Karo, that he was the Godel chosen, writes the Chidor. Among all of the three Gedolim who could have written a Shulchan Aruch, the Chidor writes it was given in a Shemaim to Rabbi Yosef Karo because of his Anivis, and then also from Rabbi Avrom Moicher Yerokis, that he, according to the Mashal, was really the most worthy to be the successor to succeed the Mashal after he was gone. It's kedai just to mention that the Rebbe Yonis Naibshitz, the great Rebbe Yonis Naibshitz, again who lived about 250 years ago and more, writes in a sefer Yaris Devash. You have to realize that Rebbe Yonis Naibshitz was the preeminent Godel Hador of his time. In spite of the fact of the situation that was between him, as you know, and Rebbe Yankiv Emden, not the place you to go into it, that did not take away the fact that Rebbe Yonis Naibshitz was the preeminent Godel Hador. That's what he was. He was the greatest Rosh Yeshiva of his time, and I guess even by today's standards, because as I mentioned once, the Rebbe Yonis Naibshitz had 20,000 Talmidim. This is the way it's recorded. This is an enormous amount, even by today's standards, with a mode of travel, you know, nothing just to go across the ocean to go anywhere. Imagine those days, where do you get 20,000 Talmidim? Where do you get that many Talmidim? He was such a magnet, such a drawing force, such a tremendous Marbitz Torah. Rabbi Yonis Aibshitz writes, now here you have a Godel Hador, the preeminent Torah scholar of his time. He writes in Yaris Devash, B'chol yoyim sha'ani moisev lilmoid. It's just incredible words. Every day he says that I continue to learn, ani moisev lahakir, the more I recognize miut erki, how nothing I am, v'chisorn chochmosi, and how little I know. Because wherever I turn, I always find kashis. And if there are kashis, he says, somebody thinks, because you know, you're big ilus, you have kashis. It's true, you have a big, you have kashis. But if you have kashis, it means you don't know the answer. If you don't know the answer, it means there's something lacking. If you have a kashis and you have a teres, then you're quite in good shape. But if you have a kashis and you don't have an answer, well, that means that there's something, there's a void there. So basically, I have a lot of kashis wherever I go. He took that to mean as a chasarn. V'yodi kekotzro liyajva malochim. And my power, he says, is too weak to be able to answer all the kashas and the difficulties that I have. So what do I do? So the Rebbe Naibshitz, being that I know the truth, how little I know. You hear what the Rebbe Naibshitz says? So you know what do I do? Vani boiche umevake, I cry, sha'ani be'enei ha'olam ketalmid chacham uvik. I cry that the world is making a mistake in me. The world thinks I'm a godel. The world thinks that I'm a sara toire. I know I'm not. I know how little I know. He's not going by comparing himself like about others. He's great. He's evaluating himself, what the Torah really is. In relation to what the Torah really is, he says, I know so little. He says, therefore, I cry because I know how little I know, and the world thinks that I am a talmid chacham muvik. He says, I'm a great scholar. Well, I need chaser bereiv devarim. Most things I don't know, he says. Now, I may know a lot, but most I don't know. That which I know, that is a miut of what there is to know. If they'll ask me loyed al heshiv, I will not know to answer. And according to the standards of Chazal, what does the Gemara tell us? What is the Talmud Chacham? According to the standards of Chazal, Talmud Chacham tzorech leheshiv bakoil afilu b'mesechta skala. The Gemara says, who is a Talmud Chacham? When it's capable of answering in any Masechta. And the Gemara says, even if it's a Masechta like Masechta Skala, so the Skala is rather one of the smaller Masechtas, but you have to have mastery. V'ani eini yodei b'shum Masechta. There's not one Masechta that I can say, I know all the answers to all the kashas. There's not one Masechta that I feel that I've mastered fully. Lefari kol kushel, to answer all the kashas. And therefore he says, Zehu mar hachoyli, he says, this is, he says, it's called the bitter sickness. There's the bitter sickness, he says, Rabbi Yosef Aibshitz, as you know, in the Sefer Yaris Devash, which is the Sefer of Musar. In addition to being the great Talmud Chacham, the great Rosh Yeshiva, is also a tremendous Baal Musar. Today we have, these two things are separated. You have a Rosh Yeshiva who gives Shurim, Lomd Shishurim, and then you have a Mashgiach, right, who gives Musar Shemusim. Rabbi Yosef Aibshitz was both. In addition to being the great Rosh Yeshiva, who gave his masterful shiurim, but at the same time, Rabbi Yosef Aibshitz also was a tremendous mechiach, tremendous bal darshan. So he writes, I'm the mechiach, I'm the one who's giving musar. Here again comes his anivus. Not only his anivus in the area of lomdus, that he says he knows so little, but also in the area of tzitkis. He says, Oili al shivri, woe to my sheva, to my ambroch, as you say on Yiddish. Ki gamanoichi yodea chol ye. I know, he says, my spiritual illness, he says. Ashani kli mole busha. I'm a kli filled with busha mikaf regel vad roish embi mesoim. Starting, he says, from the soles of my feet all the way up to my head, there's not one spot, he says, that is perfect. That is, it's all. Every area of my body needs a tikkun. Here's again, this is just incredible hearing these words coming out of the Lev Tohar of the true, true Godel Hador of all time, the greatest Rosh Yeshiva of his time and beyond his time, writing these words. It's just amazing. And again, but now we understand why, in fact, they were so great. We learned from the Chidah, because of the Anivus. This wasn't fate Anivus, this was an Anivus, there was a put-on type of Anivus. This is the true attitude, Hargosh of Anivus. As the Chidah says, the one who is a Hoylech Betomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will make sure that, in fact, that his Chochmah and his Torah will be Machrezes, all of the Bechutz. His Torah will shine far and will have tremendous, tremendous, far-reaching Hashpoas. The Balatanya, Rabbi Yisrael, let me just tell you. The Balatanya was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, the Rebbe of Be'er, who of course was the successor to the Baal Shem Tov in Chassidus. And he said that the Balatanya had a particular kasha that he needed to ask from his Rebbe, the Maggid. The Maggid. He comes to the door and he bangs on the door, knocks on the door, and the Maggid asks, who is there? And the Balatanya said, it is I. And the Maggid asks him the question over again, who is there? And the Balatanya answers again, it is I. And so this repeated itself a good few times. The Balatanya, his name was the Pshner Zalman, of course, and the Maggid affectionately called him Zalmanu. It is known, you see in the letters and correspondence between the Balatanya and the Maggid, he, even in the letters he addresses him, Zalmanu, affectionately. So he said to him, Zalmanu, he says, I want you to know that tomorrow there's going to be a bris in a neighboring village. In a neighboring village, he says, there's going to be a bris, and I would like you to be mishtatev to participate in that Sudas Mitzvah. Balatanya, Rav Shneur Zalman, he promised the Maggid that he'll go. He'll see to make it his business to go there, even though he had no reason to go there, other than the Maggid told him he doesn't even know the people who they are making this bris. But listen, his Rabbi the Maggid told him, I'd like you to be mishtatev in that bris. He said, make the bris. Kachave, he goes over there, and they did not know who he was. The Baal Simcha thought that this is one of the paupers, one of the passers-by that usually pass by. You've got to have hundreds, you know, coming by a day, and waiting for a handout, and so on and so forth. So in the eyes of the Baal Simcha, Baal Bris, this is Tamayid. This is Tamayid, and Oivra Vishav, someone just a passerby. And happened to fall in by a bris. Lamaisa says, okay, come in, we're making a bris. And he seats them somewhere at the edge of the table. At the end of the table, like an ish poshet moed, like some like they used to do, people who were not machshiv, the aniyim always had the last seat in the house. And he thought he put him there somewhere at the edge of the table to the far side of the table. It turns out that at the end of the suda, they realized that one of the silver spoons, one of the silver utensils were missing. Now the Baal Simcha knew the people he invited, those he knew, and he did not suspect them of taking it. The only person that he was choshed, that he really believed could have taken it, was the Balatanya. Balatanya is the person who does not belong with the Simcha. He's a passerby. He's someone I don't know. He probably is the one who told it. So they go over to him and the waiter, they go over to the Balatanya, and they insist that he return the spoon that he took. The Balatanya says, not I. And again, and they began to beat him. Every time they beat him, he says, not I, he says. Nishtich, not I. Finally, after really he got a good dose, the waiter couldn't take it anymore, and the waiter admitted. He couldn't see that this innocent person was getting it. He said, you know, it was me who took it. Stop hitting him. And he produced the stolen spoon from his own pocket. Balatanya goes back home, and he goes to his Rebbe, and the Rebbe asks him, did you go to the bris? He says, yes. Did you enjoy the bris? He said, no. He says, well, tell me about what happened at the bris. So he says, would you believe it that they suspected me for stealing one of the silverware there? And of course, at the end, I was exonerated. So the Balatanya stands there, and he hears how the Maggid responds, and the Maggid says to him as follows, do you remember when you came the day before? Then you knocked on the door and I said, who is there? And he said, it is I. It is I. You realize the only person who is I is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. There's no I. Who is the I? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you know what? For every time that you said I to me, you had to say not I over there. That was the Maisa. You had to have this lesson driven home. This is the Tshuva. This is the Tshuva's HaMishkel. For every time that's gezugt ich, has to gedav zug nisht ich. This was the balance. This is the balance of this Anhoge. So this is just very, very fascinating. Just Agav Urchid, that's the son of the Balatanya, Merev Anivis, would not agree to have an aliyah. Would not agree to have an aliyah by a Sefer Torah. Because why? Because he says, when I stand before the Sefer Torah contains all the Tariq Mitzvahs. He says, I become bottled from Busha. How can I stand in front of the Sefer Torah when I know I have no Shaykhis? I have no Shaykhis in the Sefer Torah. It's like the Sefer Torah glaring, looking me in the eyes. Why are you not fulfilling what it says over here? You know when he had an aliyah? On Simchas Torah, Kol Hanorim. Kol Hanorim. That's the aliyah that he accepted to take. So again, this is a little bit of an indication. Again, what the Talmud Dvar is telling us. Badinyan of Anivis. Just want to mention to you, and actually we should really move on a little bit. So, let me tell you just something. When we talk about the chiyuv of emulating Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the whole idea of the Sefer Talmud Dvar, which is based upon the mitzvah or the chiyuv on v'holachto bedrochos, there's a chiyuv that we have to follow b'derech Hashem. There's one important nekuda that we have to emphasize. And maybe that nekuda should have been emphasized many weeks ago. We know that there's a chiyuv, for example, to do chesed, regardless. There's a chiyuv because it says, v'ohavto l'reacho kamoicho. V'ohavto l'reacho kamoicho, clearly in the Rambam, that's mechayiv, that I have to do chesed with my fellow. V'ohavto l'reacho kamoicho. And then there is also a second chiyuv. There's a second chiyuv of doing chesed because v'holachto bedrochav. We have to follow the ways of Hashem. In the same way that Hashem performs chesed, we also have a chiyuv to do chesed. So the question, Rabbi Isai, is what is the difference between these two mechayivim? What is the difference between the mechayiv of doing chesed because of v'ohavta l'reacha kamoicho? It's not just a repeat. We mentioned many, many times. Nothing in the Torah is there being redundant. Nothing in the Torah is there repetitive. And even two words which appear to be the same, they're not the same. But there is a difference, and we once pointed out that actually the Malbim actually has a whole essay regarding all kinds of words in Lashon Kodesh which appear to be similar, and in fact they're not similar. Like ulai and pen. Ulai maybe, and pen maybe. For example, the Malbim would say that the difference is, when you say ulai, maybe, it's a type of an item that you wish it would happen. Ulai, maybe. Maybe it will happen. Pen is maybe not, we hope not. Pen is a shomer lecha pen, which means pen, maybe it'll happen. In other words, we really would not like it to happen. That's the difference between ulai and pen, usually. Akoponim and so on. So you have here these two mitzvahs, which are mechayev yid to do chesed. One is mitzad v'ohavta l'reacha kamoicha, the other one is because of a halachta bedrochav. Then as Rameir Stern once pointed out, and he said, that there's a big difference. V'ohavta bedrochav, the emphasis, the concentration of v'ohavta bedrochav, is not the act of chesed. V'ohavta bedrochav means to acquire a mid of chesed benafshe, that I become a person of chesed. In other words, v'ohavta bedrochav means I have to become a person that emulates Hashem. It has to define me as a person. The way that I become an isha chesed is by doing the act of chesed. But let's say I do an act of chesed. By doing once an act of chesed, you don't become a Baal Chesed. How does one acquire a midah? How does one become that midah? You know how you become that midah? By doing a midah over and over again, it becomes a kinyan benafshoy. V'olachto bedrochav means that a person should be koyne midas ha-chesed. That this becomes his personality. His personality becomes a rachum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachum. Mahu rachum af ato rachum. Mahu chanun, the Gemara says, af ato. What does it mean? It doesn't merely mean to do it. Means to become. Your personality should be a personality of chesed. The way to become the maisa chesed is merely a medium. The maisa chesed is a means to an end. Is a means to an end to become a isha chesed. V'ohavta l'reacha kamoicha, on the other hand, the mitzvah is the act of chesed itself. It's not about acquiring midos. V'hapachumachmis is to extend chesed, to convey chesed, to do the act of chesed. And one can find that in the various lishonis in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph of Hilchas Deis, Halacha Vav, Halacha Zayin, as well as in Hilchas Ovel, in Perek Yudalev, Halacha Aleph. And therefore, I'll give you a perfect example. The question is, let's say I do not have in front of me a person that needs an act of chesed. There's no one around me that needs chesed. Do I have a chiyuv to go out of my way to look for someone that has a void and to be able to help him? What's my chiyuv? No one is around now. It's a slow day. There's no one here who needs chesed, at least in my vicinity. Do I have a chiyuv now to go and search for someone, to find someone for whom to do chesed? Do I have to do that? The Navkim is quite poshut. V'ahavta l'recha kamoicha is only mechayev if he's here. In other words, a chiyuv for me to do chesed for someone who has a chesaron. V'ahavta l'recha kamoicha doesn't have a chiyuv to go find someone who might be in need. Doesn't say that. V'ahavta l'recha kamoicha says I have a chiyuv to do chesed, means if someone is here who needs chesed. But it doesn't say I have to go looking for people who need chesed. But the mitzvah on the other end, v'alacha bedrocha, means that I have to become an ish chesed. So to become an ish chesed means to do acts of chesed to acquire that midah. So v'alacha bedrocha basically means that I would have a chiyuv to guy find, to go out of my way to try to find people, situations of doing chesed in order to acquire the midah of hatova to become a kinyan in my nefesh, to become part of my being. So this is what we find. This is the chilik between these two mitzvahs. Although they appear to be the same, they're not the same. And quite simply, I'll tell you, if I do one single act of chesed to a person, that act of chesed, I was mekayim v'avta l'recha kamoicha. I was mekayim. But by doing one act of chesed, I don't become a baal chesed. It didn't change my nature yet. So v'alachta bedrochav, I wasn't mekayim. For v'alachta bedrochav, I may have to do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Many acts of chesed until my personality becomes transformed to becoming an ish ha-chesed. So kapon rabbeisai. So these are the attitudes. This is that we have to learn. This is v'alachto bedrochov. This is our chiyuv, and this is what the Torah Medvora here is trying to teach us. So let's now begin. Let's begin now what we have in the Torah Medvora again, the Aplamet Beis, which is hashniyah. Because again, the midah Rishoina, he said, was the midah of Anova, which we discussed. Now the term Advar is going to the second midah, Hashniyah. In other words, the second area that we have a chiyev v'halachta bedrochav to follow in the derech of Hashem. Now again, he uses the phrase, again, we mentioned quite a number of times that the term Advar in many areas, we, Baruch Hashem, so far did not encounter too many, so we were not troubled with it. But in many areas, he basically uses many, many Kabbalistic terms. And it's accepted. Well, Moshe Talmud Dvar happens to be a sefer, which first and foremost it is learned in the Olam HaYeshivas of Chassidus, in the Chassidish Mekoymes. But it's a sefer, bechlal not limited to the Olam HaChassidus, the Olam HaYeshivas in the Litvish world, the great Balamusar, as we mentioned in the first few Shiurim of the Talmud Dvar, whether it was Rav Elia Pian, whether it was the Altar from Kelm. Talmud Dvar was a very fundamental sefer. As a matter of fact, we also mentioned that in Lakewood, Matas Yoh Solomon, in the beginning, gave a whole series of shiurim on the sefer Talmud Dvar that we are learning. It's considered to be a fundamental sefer in Hanhogis Ben Odom L'Chaveroi. High ideals, as we have learned throughout the weeks. Not easy, but the idea at least we should try to climb one rung of the ladder, step by step, at least to come a little bit closer to these ideals, at least to have goals. We should have goals that we set before ourselves to know what a yid should aspire to. So many times he uses Kabbalistic terms. So one of my yeshivas used to say is that we skip over the Kabbalistic terms and we know the halakim that we understand. Because there's enough that in the regular Lashon Kodesh that he uses, and that's enough to bring out the message. He just supports it many, many times with Kabbalistic thought and Kabbalistic philosophy. But it's not contingent. The whole idea, the whole philosophy is not contingent on those Kabbalistic ideas that he presents. Here again he presents, just a little bit, Hashniyah, Machshavtoi Tidme. A chiyuv of a person is that his thoughts, he's now telling us how a person should use his thoughts. You realize, Rabbi, thoughts are things that many times we think is incontrollable. Now, to a certain degree, it's true. Thoughts, as they say, fly into your mind. which means I didn't bring it into my mind. Sometimes you do. But thoughts, not necessarily, right, are brought into your mind by what you're doing. Of course, if you go and you look at certain things, that's going to leave a picture in your mind as well. And certainly, if a person is going to use his eyes and to gaze on things inappropriately, so right away his machshavos are going to be filled with that. But we're not even talking about that. Thoughts, just in general, they just come and go. Happens during Shemoneh Esrei a lot of times. So, thoughts come and go. The Sforim HaKadoshim, by the way, have pointed out, that in fact, that even if in one's mind an inappropriate thought comes, there'll be no oinish for that. The oinish will be if he dwells upon it and just keeps it there. Now, the avoid of a person is to try to remove it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how great the nesoyin of each person is, and accordingly, whether he really wants to keep it, he's not interested in removing that thought, or maybe he just finds it too difficult. And what's called too difficult? Not the same. Different people have different nesoyinists in different areas and to a different depth, depending on the constitution of a person. So here, the Talmud Dvar is talking about mind control, not somebody else controlling your mind, you controlling your mind. That is the kind of mind control that the Torah is asking from you. Machshavtoi tidme, that your thoughts should emulate what kind of a thought process? Lemachsheves hakeser. Now here again, just let's repeat again. Because last week's year, the Talmud Dvar spoke about the midah of keser. You might remember when we had the sheet, which is based upon the illustration, the Kabbalistic illustration from the Talmud Dvar, the Esser spheres, which are the ten vehicles of emanation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu uses in terms of being mashpia on this world, it could be either chesed, it could be gvura, but the first three, the uppermost three, are keser, chochmah, and bina. Keser, chochmah, and bina, and then come the seven that we have in the Yemei Asfira. Chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, hoyd, yisoid, malchus. Right? So you have, together you have ten. The first three, then seven. So as he pointed out, that the first one is called keser. The first of the ten, the uppermost high, is called keser, the crown. And the reason we call it the crown, because this is the midah that is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. This is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and basically Keser represents the Ratzon of Hashem. If we are able to say that type of a lotion, Keser basically represents the Ratzon of Hashem. So it's called Keser because in the same way that a crown is worn above the head, Keser refers to things that are above the human mind's ability to comprehend. So Keser is something very high. But yet, we cannot fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quote-unquote keser, but we can try to emulate within our limited range. Within our limited range, we should try to emulate the midah of keser. That's what the Talmud Dvar here is referring to. Let's just remind the Yoilam that we mentioned last week that in the world of Kabbalah, these three, keser, chochmah, bina, are in fact called moichin. These three are called moichin, which means the brain. They are called the spheres horosh. They are called the spheres of the head because they represent the intelligent in human terms. And Chochmah, Bina, and Keser, which is, of course, the uppermost high. So here we go again to the Talmud Dvar. Machshavtoi tidme. What we're asking from a Yid, that his machshove should emulate the machsheves HaKeser, the thought process of the Midah of Keser. So the Midah of Keser, again, which is the highest form, which is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, which represents, we said, even the Rotzen of Hashem, our thought process within our small range, within our small being, right? But we, within our perspective, should try to emulate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, in his all-encompassing perspective. K'moisha oisa ha-chochma. In what way? In the same way that chochma of keser, we said keser chochma bina. The chokhmah, the element of chokhmah which lies in keser, you know something about it? Chokhmah in keser, loy tifsoik tomid lachshoy machshavas toivis. Chokhmah of keser never stops thinking good thoughts. Vahara loy yikonez bo, and it allows no evil to go into it. Mipnei shehu rachmim gimurim, because it's absolute rachmim. So what do we see here? We find here keser chokhmah bino, that the element of chokhmah. Chokhmah in keser, which is within keser, is a thought process, kibiyochel of Hashem, which does not, in that area of chokhmah, Talmud Devar tells us it does not cease ever from thinking machshavas toivus and does not allow any evil to enter it. So maybe to understand that a little bit better again, so we have to take a look at the sheet that we gave the Oilam. Let's take a look, Rabbi Yisai. What we have here, somewhat of an explanation. And this is the first item that we have on the sheet. That is from Hagoyim Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch of Telz. Hagoyim Rabbi Yosef Bloch of Telz, Rabbi Yosef Leib, in his sefer called Shiurei Das. Very well-known series of Sforim, Shiurei Das, very deep Shiurim, Hashkofe in Torah, Hashkofe Machshove. And he had an area called Behiris Hadas, clarity, right? Clarity of knowledge, Bebir HaInyan. And he comes to explain the Inyan of Keser that we're talking about, Vizel HaShoiner. Inyan HaKeser, he says, the Inyan of Keser is Kemoche Nimtze B'Sforim HaGdoshim. Ki harotzoin bebriyas ha'olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he had the rotzon to create the world, in a certain sense, hoye ke'ein oifen machsheves odom. Okay? So we would like to parallel, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch says, the rotzon of Hashem, before he created the world, in a certain sense, is like man, when he has rotzon about doing something. So we should try to understand that, and to parallel these ideas. L'sabres oizen, we have to use human terms, of course. How do we explain that Hashem's rotzen in Briyas Olam is similar to the rotzen of man when he wants to do something? Says Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch as follows. And by the way, we spoke about this, not from Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, in one of the Shurim of Tanya. We also went through this idea. He's telling us a very interesting thing. This is like a scientific analysis, how the thought process of the human mind works. It's just kedai just for that to understand. We don't see the steps, every step of the way. We see finally the end result. This is what we want to do, so we're doing it. But how subconsciously in your mind, how your mind translated, in other words, when you want to do something, it had to be a motivation. What brought you to want to do it? You said, I want to do this. It's not stum you want to do it. There has to be something behind it that motivates you to want to do something. But sometimes you don't even realize it. It's like a reflex action that you find yourself in a situation that you want to do something. But that's not where it started from. Sometimes it's too faint or it's too far within the recesses in the depth of one's mind to be able to focus and to pick up on what was, as he uses the Lashon and we already used, what's called the Nekude Ketane. Before you have a developed idea of what you really want to do, it starts out with a dot. That dot is very interesting. There's a dot in your mind which at that time, that's the Hatzcholet. That's the etymology. That's the beginning. That's the root. That's the root of your Rotzen. When you have Rotzen already, that is the outcome. That's not where it started from. Where it started from prior to the Rotzen, it started in a Nekude Ketane. In that Nekude Ketane, let's call it a small dot. That small dot, today we can understand it, you know, we're living in this computer age. This small dot contains in it all the genetic material of the total machshava, but it has to be brought out. In other words, it starts with a dot. That from that little dot, branches develop. The idea develops itself. It grows, and you think it through better and better, right? And you develop the idea until finally you come to the conclusion of what you really want to do, and you say, "This is my rotzen." But the end result of your rotzen started out with that little dot, which is in the Kudah Ketana. In the Nekude Ketana stage, it was not developed. But it was all there. You just didn't know it yet. You didn't develop yet. You didn't use all the genetic material that's in that dot. You have to develop it and you have to bring it out. It has to grow. So this is what Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch is explaining. Let's take a look here. Again, Kashetat Chalei Salodom, when it begins by a person, Machshove Chadosha, Bitchilo, when it starts, when the new Machshove starts in the beginning, he ke'ei Nekude Ketana. This is really a small dot, but it's not stam a small dot. It's not a nothing. Think of a dot. You say, what's a dot? No. This is a small dot. It's a chip. It's a chip that has all information. Can have stored in that little chip, in that little Nekude Ketane. Amazing, amazing amount of information is stored there, but you're not aware of it yet. Because it's all in that genetic form. It's all in that form. This dot, the machshava, expands. It expands and it develops into what we call later rotzen. This is what I want to do. Yeah, now you know what you want to do. But that which you want to do at the end started out from a nekuda ketana. So look what he says further. V'oz misareves ha-machshove. And then he says this machshove mixes with betavnis misuyemis. The machshove develops itself into a particular form. Leprotim, right, broken down into various details. Uprote protim, lefi oifen ha-tzorach, according to what is necessary. Lehoitzi lepoilus ha-yitzir. In other words, if I decide I want to create something, I also have to have a thought process. How am I going to create it? How am I going to do it? If I want to build a house, then in addition to wanting to build a house, part of that thought process is also how to facilitate that, how to make it happen. Where do I get the wood? Where do I get the brick from? Or maybe what type of a house do I want to build? All the various details. These are developed from that Nekuda Ketana that started out as a Nekuda Ketana. Without any specific information, it was capsulized. All information was condensed in that Nekuda Ketana, which later on emerged and developed and expanded. Okay, and that similarly, listen to this, what he says now. Okay, and that, so just like in the human mind, Rotzon starts out, is rooted in a Nekuda Ketana, in that small dot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kebiyochel, as it were, HaRotzon b'Briyas Olam, the Rotzon b'Briyas Olam, HaNekuda HaKoileles, is called HaRotzon Nikri Keser. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Nekuda Ketana has a name. In human mind, it has no particular name. We call it Nekuda Ketana. That small dot, that's the root. That's where everything started from. It started from that small dot that had all the genetic material out of which you're going to develop and expand and create the final result, what you call Rotzin and so on. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kibiyachol, there, before the Rotzin, as it were, came out, what precedes that Rotzin is also what's called a Nekuda Ketana, but that Nekuda Ketana is called Keser. So that Haschol, if you will, again, by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Haschol, Ova, Hoy, Hoy, Vive, we're talking about, again, in human terms. That Nekuda Ketana is called Keser. What comes out later is all a result of Keser, is an outgrowth of Keser. Keser is the Nekuda Ketana. So let's go further. So v'chol ha-briya bitproteo. So now when we look at the finishing, right? We see the finishing result. We see the finishing result of the briya. He hispashtes ha-rotzen. That is the expansion of the rotzen which was originally nichlal. That's the expansion of that which was nichlal b'nekuda hazois. So betavnis misuyemis, and now it expands in a particular form. Lefi harotzen hanichlal bekeser. But all of that, really, all of that was already nichlal in keser, except it came out, it expanded, and grew out to finally what we call the end result, the end product. Now, if there is what's called an original nekuda ketana, which we call keser, says Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch of Telz, v'sham bekeser, in that nekuda ketana. He repeats himself. That Nekuda Ketana, Mokoim HaNekuda, again, the Nekuda HaKoileles Shel HaRotzen, the Nekuda which is the all-encompassing, because everything, right, is rooted in that seed. Everything is rooted in that Nekuda Einimtze Shom Raklal. You hear that? In the Nekuda Ketana that preceded the end result of Briyas Olam, the Nekuda Ketana that preceded the Rotzen of creating the world, that Nekuda Ketana, which was the little seed, if you will, is the seed of the rotzen that comes out later. But the rotzen was nichlal in that seed, because you can only grow out that which was already contained, right, in the seed. The nekuda ketana, which is the seed, which is the shayrish, which is the root. In that nekuda ketana, no ra whatsoever exists. Kebriyas oilam oisarak lahetif. Because Hashem's purpose, lamaisa, that was His plan. We may be, change things around a little bit. But Hashem's rotzen in the Nekuda Ketana, starting from the very Nekuda Ketana, is only toiv, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose in creating was only lehetiv, to bestow toivah. So says the Arizal, as it's brought down from Chaim Vital. Ola b'rtzoinu, there was Ola b'rtzoinu, doesn't bring it here, but there's Yidua, that it was Ola b'rtzoinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be meitiv, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to be meitiv. Layitzoy Yitzira, to create a Yitzir Lashpia Shom, as a Toiv Habilti Tachlisi. Not Stam Toiv. Toiv which is without Gvul, without Tachlis, without end. Va Toiv Ahu, and that Toiv is the Mokar Biyatir Sabriya. So if I were to ask you, what is a root ingredient, right, in the seed of Bria Soilum? What is the root ingredient? Right, look at the bottle. What is the root ingredient of the seed of Bria Soilum? Toif! The root ingredient is toif. Now, I can plant a perfectly good seed, Rabbi Isai. I can plant a perfectly good seed. And yet, instead of the beautiful pears coming out, if I don't water it properly, if I don't take care of it properly, if the weather conditions, if I don't cover it, you know, as greenhouse maybe didn't know what to do, then the root may be the best of the highest quality, but it will not produce. It will not produce the toif that it's capable of producing. So mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the seed which contains the root of Yetzirah, which contains the root of Bria Soilom, that seed b'emes is kulei toif. But doesn't mean that the end result, that the whole world is going to benefit from toif, even though the seed has it, even though the Nekudei Kedana has it, as he points out further. V'chol hara hanim tzishom. But he goes on further, though, to say that even the ra that you find in the world, the hadinim hakoshim, heim rak behanhoge lefi drishis hatoiv betachlis. The b'yosel leblach tainis, that sometimes the root is toif, the tachlis, the goal, is toif, but the highway, the road between the root and the tachlis, may be a bumpy road. Now, sometimes somebody goes on a bumpy road, but he knows he has to go through that road because that's the only road to his destination. He wants to go to an exclusive vacation spot. Just so happens that there's a lot of construction and a lot of headaches, so his trip is not enjoyable at all, far from it. But that's the road that's going to take him to the toiv that he's looking for. That's the pshat of the dinin. When a person undergoes midis adin, a person undergoes various maybe illnesses or sicknesses, this is the road, because the tachlis is to lead you to toif. The ultimate tachlis is that through this, the end result of all the ra that a person might experience is again to meet up with toif. It starts with toif, it ends with toif. The road in between to lead you to toif might be dinim, and it might be kosher, it might be difficult, as he points out. Let's read it again. V'chol hara hanim tzishom v'adinim hakoshim heim rak behanhoge lefi drishis hatoif betachlis, in order to be able to arrive, right, to be able to acquire that toif. He says, heim rak shevilim hamalichim lezeh. These are just shevilim, these are roads. These are roads. But the idea is not to experience ra. That's not the purpose, that's not the tachlis, that's not the intent. And the end result is you're going to have toif. That could be. The end result is you're going to have toif. V'alpi hanhoge drushois, and according to the hanhoge v'ashem, drushois, it is necessary, midos shoynes, all different midos, all different type of roads. V'onshim, hanidroshim, which are necessary, b'shal tachlis. Look, if someone needs a refuah, he may need an operation. Now, the operation is painful, but he needs the operation to arrive to the tachlis that he wants. In this case, he wants the toif, he needs the refuah. What is the road to lead to refuah? He needs a serious operation. And sometimes, chaz v'shalom, there's amputation. But it's needed for the tachlis, for the refuah. So the dinim koshim that a person might undergo is not for the tachlis of the yisurim. The tachlis is that this should lead him to the tachlis of toif, to the purpose of toif. Aval b'nekuda hakolelis, again, but in the original nekuda, regardless of what a person experiences later, but in the nekuda hakolelis, but in this all-encompassing dot, as we said, the original dot, b'keser, shom ein kol kitrug el toif. Ki kol inyan habriyeh hurak hashpoes hatoif mahatoif habilti tachlisi. This is what it's all about. So that, Rabbi Isai, we can stop here. And I want you to keep the sheet for next week, because there's a few more important nekudas. So don't just put it away. Take it with you, so we'll be able to continue. So this is the idea, the first few lines of the Toyma Devaira, that the next shnia, the next midah that we're working on is Machshove. And he starts out that in Keser, that nekudah ketana that we called Keser, any Machshove in that nekudah ketana only deals with Toif. Any involvement in the Nekuda Ketana is only toif. And therefore, our tafkid, our objective, our chiyuv, within the framework of the Halachta B'drachot, that our machshavas also should be doime to what it lies in Keser. What lies in Keser in that Nekuda is only toif, there's no ra. We should also train our machshavas to be thinking only into Toiv, and to block out and to purify ourselves from anything of Ra. And Be'ez Hashem, that way, we'll be on the road to being Mekayim v'holachto b'drochav.